Good morning, everybody. Well, my name is Juan Carlos Melgar. I'm with Clemson University, and I'm going to talk about optimizing fertilization in young peach tree orchards for the southeastern U.S. This is something that I started 3 years ago when I started with my position there at Clemson. And if we think of the inputs that we put, that our growers put in the field, I mean, let's think about, for example, pest and disease controls. Most growers have programs in place in which they monitor their pest levels and disease incidents so that they know when to apply pesticides. If we talk about irrigation, water management, they have tensiometers to measure soil moisture, soil content, and they measure how much water you put in the field. But if we talk about fertilization, yes, it's true, we have soil analysis, we have leaf tissue analysis, and they use them frequently for adult trees, mostly, right? And let's say you get back with your soil, with your leaf analysis, that you have all your nutrients in an adequate level. The grower normally thinks, like, okay, better let's put a little bit more, just in case, to cover our backs, right? And all these, I always tell my growers, this is not about how much, because they always say, it's cheap. Fertilizer is not such a big expense. It's not about how much expensive it is. I always say it's how expensive labor is. Because if you have this excess of fertilization, that means later more pruning. And there is where you see the expense. But what happens when we talk about young trees? Because if we go to young trees, most people just go to given guidelines. And if we see what we see, I mean, for example, for the southeastern U.S., some other previous guidelines from Clemson University, University of Georgia, or NC State, and I'm saying with previous or older, it's not that, I mean, they're still online and all that, but for example, in our area, researchers from Clemson and Georgia put together some guidelines that are the ones that our growers actually use. No? But these are extension publications and are out there, and we can see how different, and again, like North Carolina State University, for example, differ a little, but their production is also different, but these two are quite similar. I mean, their production is quite similar. And however, we see how some of them tend to go lower for first year, higher for the second year. So there are differences there, and we don't know exactly like where to go, like how accurate these ones are. So in order to put a little bit of rationality here and to apply what we need for young tree orchards, I developed this study to assess growth and nutritional status for young peach trees under different fertilization rates and different timings. We were applying different timings of application. So what we have is 90 trees with two varieties, June Prince and Scarlet Prince, both on guardian rootstock, and a split plot design with three fertilization treatments, and I will go through these treatments in a little bit, applied to plots of 10 trees and replicated three times. The design looks like this. It's three rows, as you can see here, with the two varieties. The purple ones are June Prince. The orange ones are Scarlet Prince. And so we have border trees at the beginning and at the end of each row, and between each treatment. And each treatment, it's going to be replicated three times, randomly selected. And there are also border trees in between each of the treatments. We did we performed a soil analysis before planting. And there, well, this row had a little bit higher organic matter and higher calcium content. But since we have the treatments replicated and randomly assigned, at the end, there are no differences if we consider the treatments, not the row. So this is how the field looked at planting time. You barely can see the trees here. See purple, white, and where the purple, white, and orange flags are. This is first row, second row, and third row. They were planted in January 2015. Spacing was 5 feet between trees because they were going to be, I mean, they're trained as perpendicularly, and 18 feet between rows. And so if we go into the treatments, the first year, and again, this the first treatment, traditional treatment, this is based on the guidelines that our growers use, the Southeastern Pest Management and Culture Guide. The standards are applying 1 pound of 10-10-10 in March, 1 pound of calcium nitrate or ammonium nitrate in May, and 1 pound in July. So we added two other treatments. One of them would be split, and the total amount is exactly the same, is half a pound and half a pound, but split in the 2 months, in March and April. Same thing between May and June, and same thing, it would be just in July. We don't want to apply after August for not increasing the amount of nutrients. We want the tree to go to dormancy and avoiding the risk of freezes. And then we have a third treatment that was, it's called reduced, which is similar to split, but we cut the last fertilization application. So basically, here we have, for the traditional, 3 pounds of fertilizer, for the reduced, 2 pounds. So that's two-thirds of what the traditional has. This is how the trees look at the end of the first year. We go to the second year. We increase the amounts to 2 pounds of 10-10-10, 125 and 125. The split would follow the same pattern, like same amounts, but just splitting in different months. And then the reduce, we continue doing like same as a split, but cutting the last one. So here, if we sum this and compare to the reduce, it would be like 70% of what we applied in the traditional. And then the third year, you could see there we place irrigation on the second year. So now we have irrigation. It was not irrigated on the second year, but it started being irrigated on the third year. The trees look like a perpendicular V. It's another picture. And so the third year, we did our applications in March, 2.5 pounds, same for split, and going to the rate of 70% of what we applied. But then we had a freeze, a devastating freeze, and so we decided not to go ahead, and I mean, there was not going to be any production, and we didn't do applications in May and July. So we kept that rate at 70% of what the traditional treatment would look. Among measurements, we measured trunk cross-sectional area above like 25 centimeters from the ground. And we see that for the June Prince variety, here we have square millimeters, and we measure it once a year, at planting time, and then once a year in July. There were no significant differences. There was a numerical difference of about 1 square millimeter for June Prince. But again, June Prince was completely wiped out with a freeze we had. So there was no fruit on the third year. The second year, we removed all the flowers. The third year, we didn't. But there was no fruit in the June Prince variety. So we assumed that all that growth all those resources were going to the growth of the tree. For Scarlet Prince, not even that numerical difference. Here we actually saw some peaches, but no significant differences by the end of the third year. We did not count flowers, but we did not see, this is again this year, before the freeze, we did not see any difference between, observational differences between treatments. Like all trees looked like the same before the freeze. If we go to nutrient analysis, I did it by cultivar and then the treatments. It doesn't make much of it's not that interesting by cultivar, even though we see that how June Prince exactly because we didn't have any fruit here, that potassium went high in leaves. Scarlet Prince had some fruit, so it went lower there. But then in between, if we compare treatments, we started to see how the split treatment looked better. But in any case, I didn't like this graph because for June Prince, we did not have any fruit, and for Scarlet Prince, we did. So it's not good to compare the, because these three treatments, I mean, these comprise both varieties. So we need to separate where we had fruit and where we didn't. And when we do this, these differences are gone. I mean, we see a numerically higher but not significant for split and reduced versus the traditional, and for split only in Scarlet Prince for potassium. There were no trends for nitrogen. This goes in line with what we are seeing with mature trees in potassium. One of our extension agents working with him, they have been putting 60, 120, and 180 pounds per acre in mature trees. And there are no differences in the leaf nutrient concentration, no differences in the soil. It's like, where is the potassium going? And we analyze the fruit too, and there are no differences of potassium in the fruit. So we assume that it's going to the wood. And so for next year, we're planning to do also wood analysis and see if there are any, like if any of these treatments are moving more, especially potassium, towards wood. Harvest time, again, June Princess didn't have anything, but there was some fruit in Scarlet Prince, so we decided to collect data, and there was no significant differences for any of the treatments. And we measured yield efficiency, I mean, the ratio between yield and transcross-sectional area, and it was also the same for all of them. So the take-home message is that remarkable amounts of fertilizer could be saved. I mean, this is, if we sum all that we have put in the, for the first, second, and third year for the traditional, it's about 10 pounds. And for the reduced, it's about 7 pounds. It's about 3 pounds per tree. At a rate of 140 or 150 trees per acre, that's between 400 and 500 pounds of fertilizer per acre that could be being put there for nothing. I mean, not for nothing, but that it's not being optimized. So definitely the main message here is that recommendations should be based or made for and refined for specific locations instead of for big regions, because depending on the type of soil, if it's a deep sandy soil or a clay soil, or we may have some results that can surprise us. And with this, I finish. If you have any questions. Yes, we do. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I was asked if we have, that since we did the analysis, the soil analysis, at the beginning of the experiment, if we have the amount of potassium for the soil. We did. I don't remember exactly the number, but there were no differences in between treatments. And that's one of the next steps, because of, I mean, at the end of this season, we were planning to do soil analysis again, at two depths, going up to 15 and 18 inches, and see if there is movement of nutrients down, like if it's being washed off. Because we may see it for, maybe for the traditional and not for the split, but that's a hypothesis.
Okay. Thank you very much.